big piece in the New York Times is still reverberating. It raised the question, has big food, corporations like Coca-Cola and Kellogg's, corrupted organic foods? The answer is yes, according to the advocacy group Cornucopia Institute. We'll hear more from them in a minute. But also yes, according to our next guest, who says the organic label is a fraud. Michael Potter is the founder of the independent organic food producer Eden Foods. He's refused to even put the USDA's certified organic seal on his products. So, Michael, tell us why. 95% of the ingredients in USDA organic products have to be organic. The other 5% have to be approved by the National Organic Standards Board that was created in 1990 by Congress. So what is your concern about that board?
My concern is that the National Organic Standards Board was designed to be a gatekeeper and keep chemicals, toxins, etc. out of organic food. They are failing to do that. In some cases, it seems quite obvious that they're bowing to or working for the interests of chemical companies, big agribusiness, and making it easy for larger corporations to make cheaper quasi-organic food and put the USDA organic symbol on it.
An organic seal means at least 95% of the ingredients have to be organically produced. And we understand, again, that in the beginning, they were allowing things through like baking soda, which makes it easier to make bread. What are some of the things that are being voted on or allowed through now that concern you?
Well, certainly not baking soda, but toxic chemicals, Chilean nitrate. They mine this Chilean nitrate in Chile, in South America, and they put it on the field, and it has the same effect as commercial fertilizers. But it's a mined mineral, so they say it's okay. Nevertheless, both have the same net effect. It kills the life in the soil. The vitality, the health, the quality of the food produced is dependent upon a vital living soil. And these agricultural chemicals deplete the life in the soil.
In fact, the Times tells of you being so horrified by a vote that was coming up for the board that you actually went to the meeting. This is when six board members voted to add ammonium nananoate, I believe is how it's pronounced. It's an herbicide. It would have been the first herbicide allowed. It did get six votes. Now, that wasn't enough to approve it, but your thoughts on that?
All your listeners know how things work in Washington. Under the table, behind closed doors, deals being made, and that this has happened regarding organics, I don't think surprises anyone, but it's time to address the issue and clean this situation up so that the consumer will and can remain confident that what they're paying a premium for is worth the money.
But if you're so concerned about the industry as a whole, why don't you get on that board?
I don't have the time. I'm quite necessary, needed, and involved in what's going on here at Eden Foods. The ponderous system that a government agency is demands an enormous amount of time. And if it's already completely dysfunctional, one has to wonder the value of the time you allocate to it.
And some people would say that is another reason why corporations are able to sit on the board. They have people whose job that is.
And they are experts at getting rid of those they don't want there by wearing them down.
Michael Potter, founder of Eden Foods. Michael, thanks so much.
You're very welcome, Robin.
Let's bring in Mark Castell, co-founder of the Cornucopia Institute, an organic food advocacy and watchdog group, which recently issued a white paper called The Organic Watergate, with all that implies. It's highly critical of the National Organic Standards Board, which again decides what non-organic ingredients should be allowed in organic foods and can only allow ingredients that don't pose a threat to human health and are essential to making a certain food. We mentioned baking soda for bread. The board is supposed to be made up of a certain number of farmers, conservationists, scientists, a limited number of corporations. But, Mark Castell, you say actual organic farmers are often not on the board. Make your case that those slots are filled incorrectly.
Well, right now we have two agribusiness executives on the board in farmer slots. One works for a $700 million plus enterprise called Organic Valley. It's a farmer-owned cooperative. And the other is Driscoll's, the largest conventional and organic berry producer in the United States. And their corporate executive is on the board in a farmer slot.
So you say that the corporations are stacking the board. Where do you see that leading to items being allowed into organic food? Draw that line.
Congress provided for expert technical reviews of all materials, all synthetics, to be incorporated in organics. When we went backwards and looked at who was doing these reviews, we found that they themselves were either agribusiness executives or consultants to the industry. So it's fixed. At the last National Organic Standards Board meeting, they reviewed the food ingredient carrageenan for relisting on that national list. It's been approved since the USDA started regulating organics. And most of us thought that this was a fairly safe and benign material. It's a derivative of seaweed. But when we looked at the scientific peer-reviewed published papers on the issue, we found that carrageenan is a very potent inflammatory agent. But the medical experts also feel there's a correlation between low molecular weight carrageenan and cancer. As we've looked farther, we find that all of the food-grade carrageenan is contaminated with this degraded or low molecular weight. So how much carcinogenic material do you want in your food?
And why would people who backed it want it in food? What is it supposed to do?
It's very effective as being a thickening agent and stabilizer. And in terms of whether it's, quote, essential, in every product category, whether it's cottage cheese or yogurt, there is a brand of organic food out there without carrageenan in it. So obviously proving that you don't need it in the processing of these food items.
Well, but I'm wondering if the backers of it feel you need it for mass production of organic foods. You know, there are people, for instance, who manage Driscoll's, who say there is such a demand for organic products. The demand is greater than the supply. She's not saying this, but I'm paraphrasing. We have to start adding little things that help us deliver this. We need this to meet the demand.
You know, in our opinion, the organic laws are scale neutral. And yes, organics now is mainstream, and that's great. But we don't have to compromise on the definition of organic as it grows. We can definitely squeeze out all the family scale farmers.
And do you think that is happening?
It absolutely is happening. And we know why consumers first come to organics. We want the safest and most nutritional food for our families. But we also know why there's such little price resistance in organics. And that's because families think they're supporting a different kind of environmental ethic. And they think that economic justice for farmers is built right into the price. But when they learn that some of their organic milk or meat might be coming from factory farms, or that imports from China are finding their way into organic food, and when they find that these giant factory farms are forcing these families that have pioneered organics out of business, then these consumers feel betrayed.
That's organic advocate Mark Castell. Tell you what, we're up against a break. We will take that break. Be back and with more in a minute here and now. Welcome back to our look at the government board charged with regulating organic food. Now, we've heard from Michael Potter of Eden Foods. He refuses to even put the USDA's organic seal on his products. We've also been talking with Mark Castell of the organic advocacy group, the Cornucopia Institute. They say the board that determines what ingredients can be allowed in organic foods is stacked. Now, the New York Times reports that seats reserved for consumer advocates have gone to corporate executives. And Mark is saying that non-farmers don't get on the board, and the Inspector General is, rather, farmers don't get on the board, and the Inspector General is looking into this. Mark's also critical of some ingredients now allowed in organic foods. Carrageenan, for instance, is banned from infant formulas in Europe but allowed in organic food here. But Stonyfield Farms, for instance, supports that, and we're going to link you at that company's website. But Mark, you say small farmers are being shut out. So are you just against big? Are you just anti-corporate?
We might be organic industry watchdogs, but we're not anti-corporate. And Eden Foods is a multi-million dollar business enterprise. They're proving you can do this ethically and still make a profit. Heinz is a very large food manufacturer in the United States. And when they introduced their ketchup, they did it right. They went to farmers in the United States. They didn't buy cheap imported tomatoes. And when they were all done, they didn't put somebody else's name on there. It says Heinz. You know, when you see Cascadian Farm vegetables and you see Glenn Muir tomato products, you'll never see General Mills on there. It says Small Planet Foods. Doesn't that sound nice? You know, this is a question not of corporate scale, but of corporate ethics. And if Heinz can enter this marketplace and do it right, and they share our values, if they make a profit, and I understand they're doing quite well with their organic ketchup, their investors deserve a return on that investment. You know, we're kind of morphing into a two-tier organic system. We have all the farmers markets around the country. We have the CSAs, the community-supported agriculture, where people subscribe to a portion of the bounty on a farm every year. And then we have companies like Eden Foods or Nutiva or Nature's Path, the largest organic cereal manufacturer, proving it that you can do it right on a large scale, make a profit. And so there's all that top tier in organics that we don't want to throw under the bus.
What is the message that you're sending to consumers who are now paying, organic Eden apple juice is $7.19, 64 ounces, compared to a Stop and Shop, a local variety, not organic, that's $2.79.
Well, that might not be a completely fair comparison, because you're comparing a premium priced name brand product to kind of a generic store brand. But there's no doubt that consumers pay more for organic food, and they expect a lot, and they should get it.
Should they bother doing it now, knowing that, well, you know, you're saying that the board that sets this up is stacked by big food?
I still have a 100% organic diet, and I think it's worth the premium price, but I'm a careful shopper, and we should demand from our corporate suppliers, we should demand from our government that the letter and spirit of this law is respected. I mean, what are we going to do? Go back to eating conventional food that we know is contaminated with agrochemicals? That's not the alternative. The alternative is to fight like hell to save something that we've all built together, that the farmers and consumers in a loving collaboration have established this industry. I'll be damned if we just hand this over to corporados that now want to exploit it for a quick buck.
By the way, is there a little bit of the shooting one's own foot in this? Because as you publish your white paper, the New York Times does this big piece, and people are reading, there's what in my organic food? Might they decide to turn away from the very thing that you're an advocate for?
Absolutely. There's certainly the potential for collateral damage here. But if all the hard work we've done over the last 20 years results in factory farms and Chinese and Indian imports, what have we really accomplished? And so what we're hoping is consumers will become more educated and more discerning. We have scorecards on our website rating every organic dairy brand, egg brand, soy food brands, and there are plenty of heroes out there. In every market, consumers can buy organic food that truly meets their expectations.
Well, meanwhile, again, this national list of things that are allowed, this 5% of organic foods that is perhaps not organic but essential to making things, that list has gone from 77 things on the list in 2002 to 250 non-organic items today. This according again to the New York Times. And yet Kathleen Merrigan, Deputy Secretary of Agriculture, told the New York Times that this notion that corporate interests are behind that increase in non-organic materials is wrong. And she also says the list is very small, that it's simplistic and headline-grabbing to throw out these scary words. You know, there might be a carcinogen, but she says when you get right down to the details, there are usually very rational and important reasons for the actions. Is that just the public face of the agency? Do you think that this Times report coupled with your paper is going to make some changes?
Well, we certainly hope so, because the final arbiter here is not the USDA. The power is held in the hands of the consumers who vote with their pocketbooks and wallets, and we hope they will reward the brands that have not been willing to compromise. Merrigan is right. This is a relatively small list. If you compare that to conventional food, there are probably 3,000 or more chemicals, and most of those organic materials are safe and have been reviewed, but we should demand excellence. Organic agriculture is supposed to emulate the natural systems. The economics are secondary. You know, Dr. Merrigan was a member of the Clinton administration and now the Obama administration. Does she think we just fell off the turnip truck to suggest that corporate agribusiness and all their lobbyists don't influence this process? If she thinks that, I have a bridge to sell her.
Well, there's that. But she and others also point out that the way the board was set up, it has to reconsider every substance it adds every 5 years. So they feel that there is a safety net.
Yes. If the board was constituted as envisioned by Congress and the technical reviews were being done by truly independent scientists, this system would work as designed. But instead, carrageenan that was originally voted for and approved in the mid-1990s and was looked at again at its five-year anniversary and then again at its 10-year anniversary this year, and it's still on the list, and it's classified as a possible carcinogen. Something's gone wrong here, and someone has influence, and it's not the consumer, and it's not the farmer. So in Washington, who would that be?
That's Mark Castel, co-founder of the Cornucopia Institute, a watchdog group. We'll link you to them at herenow.org. Mark, thanks so much.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
And you can read more on all of this, including industry response, at herenow.org.